Welcome back. Thanks for joining me today for Katie's Creative Space and our first program of 2020. If you're new to my program, Katie's Creative Space explores books from a particular topic or period of history. Together with books, I share music and songs from a period of time or the person we're chatting about. So today's story is another step back in time and one I hope you'll enjoy. We're heading to the turbulent 60s, to the United States of America, to a man that represented a new era and a new hope for a new generation, tired of war and conflict. The magical Kennedy years. You can't talk about the Kennedy years, President John Fitzgerald Kennedy or JFK, without talking about the event that shocked the world and forever changed the nation. So there's no doubt the 60s was a momentous decade. When my brother arrived in the 60s, means you will recall where you were when you learned of the assassination of JFK on 22nd of November 1963, the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. on 4th of April 1968, and the assassination of Robert Kennedy on 6th of June 1968, and the decade was rounded out by a man walking on the moon on the 20th of July 1969. So in today's show, I'm going to explore the legacy of JFK and some of the books I've read about him and his famous family. The Kennedy story is fascinating. The wealth, the connections, the tragedy, the supposed family curse. This was a well-known and a well-connected family known as the House of Camelot. There was Joseph Kennedy, an American businessman, investor and politician who also served as a US ambassador to the UK during World War II, and his nine children with wife Rose. There was Joseph Kennedy Jr., killed during World War II, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, Jack or JFK, who we all know as the 35th President of the United States. Sister Rose Kennedy, a failed lobotomy resulted in Rose being intellectually disabled for the rest of her life. Kathleen Kennedy, married and born in 1944 and was killed in a plane crash in 1948. Eunice Kennedy Shriver, who founded the Special Olympics. Patricia Kennedy, an American socialite. Robert F. Kennedy, or Bobby Kennedy, who served as U.S. Attorney General with his brother. And then he was assassinated in the late 60s, as I talked about before. Jean Kennedy Smith, who served as the U.S. ambassador to Ireland. And then finally, there was Edward Kennedy, or Ted Kennedy, who served as a U.S. senator for almost 47 years. So a family of overachievers. As someone with a deep interest in modern history, politics, and the United States, it's hard not to be intrigued by the Kennedy family, their history and all they represented. Our first song today is by Sting. Some of his earliest memories include his mother playing piano at their home in England. So while he was in England and not in the United States at the time of Kennedy's assassination, it was an event that affected his mother deeply, and he wrote about that in his song Born in the 50s, The Police. So he said, "My mother cried when President Kennedy died," he sang in the song. She said it was the communist, but I knew better. So the impact of JFK's death was clearly felt around the world. So here is The Police with Born in the 50s.
No, we'll never have another president.
But you
know, and I don't want no
challenge. Born in the 50s.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Born in the 50s.
You should have known better. So the first book I wanted to share today is one of the books in my collection, Historic Conversations with John F. Kennedy. Interviews with Jacqueline Kennedy that were recorded shortly after JFK's death in 1964. There is also a foreword by their daughter, Carolyn Kennedy. So in 1964, Jacqueline Kennedy recorded 7 historic interviews with her life, about her life with JFK. The interviews were recorded and then sealed and deposited in the John F. Kennedy Presidential Library and Museum, in accordance with her wishes. The audio and the interviews are fascinating. It includes JFK's opinions, according to Jackie, on his brothers, Robert and Ted, his take on world leaders past and present. The recordings were then released on the 50th anniversary of President Kennedy's inauguration. So the collection I have is a 6 CDs that feature all of the interviews, and then a book accompanying those CDs with a transcript of those conversations. So it's a very candid discussion. It's almost like listening to a private conversation between Jackie and the interviewer. So I highly recommend it. As I said, it comes as a CD and a book set, and I've included a small sample from them, which is a brief discussion about JFK's relationship with 2 of his brothers, Bobby and Teddy. So here it is.
What did he ever talk about what he might do after the presidency?
Yeah, yes, in the beginning he used to sort of treat it as a joke and didn't like to talk about it, and he'll say, oh, I'll be ambassador to Italy or something. And that would get... But he was just teasing. And then I'd say, oh, you have to run for the Senate. And again, this shows something wonderful about Bobby. Once I told Bobby that I was so worried, And that if only Jack could run for the Senate, you know, have Teddy's seat, because Jack said they wouldn't take two brothers from there. So Bobby went and spoke to Teddy and came back and told me that Teddy said that he would not run, you know, when Johnny, that's what the brothers always called him, was out. Which is so touching, because that was the highest thing that I think Teddy could ever have hoped for.
As I said, fascinating listening to Jackie's very honest and candid thoughts on a range of topics. So President Kennedy, whose Civil Rights Act was passed after his death, was liked by the African American community, despite him having quite a privileged white background. As a result, there were numerous blues and gospel songs written in tribute following his death, and this one, A Sad Day in Texas by Otis Spann, was one of them.
To talk, he, you know, he was on his way. No, he left home happy. No, the man, he looks so gay. No, he left home happy. My president looks so gay. When a decent arresting person put my president away.
So America has always been home to a good conspiracy theory. So I couldn't talk about JFK without talking about some of the conspiracy theories and the books that have come out of those conspiracy theories. So I've read a couple of them, including one called The Tears of Autumn by Charles McCarry, and it suggests that the killing was ordered by South Vietnam in retaliation for the assassination of its president during a coup engineered by the CIA in 1963. So McCarry was a former CIA agent. Readers suspected the writer was fictionalizing privileged knowledge, although he has always insisted in interviews it was just his theory. So whether it's true or it's not, or it's a conspiracy theory, it's a pretty gripping read. So the other one that I found particularly interesting was called The Smoking Gun, or sorry, JFK, The Smoking Gun by Colin McLaren. So Colin McLaren was a former policeman. So he pulled together some evidence, studied lots of pages of transcripts, spoke with witnesses, and he uncovered exhibits and testimonies that he said had been hidden until now. So what he found is pretty outrageous. So whether you buy into conspiracy theories or not, it makes a pretty, I think, compelling case for the theory that Kennedy was accidentally shot by one of his Secret Service agents, and the Secret Service covered it up to ensure the integrity and faith the American public had in the service was not destroyed. So again, whether you buy into theories, into those conspiracy theories or not, it does make for fascinating reading, and it was a book that I did find hard to put down. And I think conspiracy theories in general reflect the fact that so many Americans found it hard to believe that their young, exciting and inspiring and attractive president was dead. Possibly a little like all the Elvis conspiracy theories, someone who died much too young or far too young, well before they had been expected to. So 3 months after the assassination of JFK, Bob Dylan suggested his band take a detour on their touring route so they could visit Dallas. So in that same year, he released Chimes of Freedom. While Bob Dylan insists it wasn't about Kennedy, the song does closely follow the lines of poems he wrote following the assassination that clearly were about JFK. So I'll leave it up to you to decide. And on that note, here is Chimes of Freedom by Bob Dylan.
Soldier in the night, and we gaze upon
So on to our final book for today. And it's by the last surviving Kennedy son of his generation, who went on to serve in the US Senate for 50 years. As someone fascinated by modern political history and the Kennedy legacy, I loved this book. It was beautifully written. It's called True Compass, a memoir by Edward M. Kennedy, or Teddy Kennedy, as many people knew him. So I just wanted to read a little from the book. The youngest of nine children, born to Joseph Kennedy and Rose Fitzgerald Kennedy, Teddy came of age among siblings from whom much was expected. As a young man, he played a key role in the presidential campaign of his brother, John F. Kennedy, recounted here in loving detail. In 1962, he was elected to the US Senate, where he began a fascinating political education and became a legislator. In his historic memoir, he takes us inside his family, recreating life with his parents and brothers, and explaining their profound impact on him. He describes his heartbreak and years of struggle in the wake of their deaths. Through it all, he describes his work in the Senate on the major issues of our time: civil rights, Vietnam, Watergate, the quest for peace in Northern Ireland, and the cause of his life, improved healthcare for all Americans, a fight influenced by his own experiences in hospitals. His life has been marked by tragedy and perseverance, a love of family and an abiding faith. There have certainly been controversies, and Kennedy addresses them with unprecedented candor. At midlife, embattled and uncertain if he would ever fall in love again, he met the woman who changed his life. Facing a tough re-election campaign against an aggressive challenger named Mitt Romney, Kennedy found a new voice and began one of the great third acts in American politics, sponsoring major legislation, standing up for liberal principles, and making the pivotal endorsement of Barack Obama for president. So I now wanted to turn to a song that I was actually quite surprised was actually about the Kennedys, but it is. So it's written by Billy Joel. And when he in an interview he did, he said when he first heard of Kennedy's death, he first tried to console a fellow eighth grade classmate who was crying. Then he took a long walk, feeling a deep bitterness and a despair I had never before experienced in my life. Years later, after hearing too many stories about the good old days, he wrote this song to prove the good old days weren't always good, pairing the good and bad events that shaped his youth, including, as he angrily put it, JFK blown away, what else do I have to say? So while it's not definitely or definitively all about the Kennedys, it does mention an event in time that I was surprised to hear in this song. So here it is, Billy Joel, We Didn't Start the Fire. We'll be right back. So in 2011, my husband and I travelled to Washington on holiday, and I just wanted to share a little bit of our time in Washington. Our first full day in Washington was grey and rainy, so we spent the day exploring the Capitol's famous museums. Day two, it was our last in the Capitol, and so we wanted to take everything in. We were up early at Arlington Cemetery when it opened at 8 a.m. on a cold March morning. Visiting JFK's grave and memorial was something I'd wanted to do for many years, and to be there was definitely a pinch-me moment. We were the only ones at JFK's final resting place on that cold Washington day. There were a number of quotes etched in stone around the eternal flame and headstone that marks this place, including what I believe to be one of his most famous quotes, and I'm sure many people will agree. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. My fellow citizens of the world, ask not what America will do for you, but what together we can do for the freedom of man. There was another quote that was at his memorial site, or his grave site. Now the trumpet summons us again, not as a call to bear arms, though arms we need, not as a call to battle, though embattled we are, but a call to bear the burden of a long twilight struggle, year in and year out, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, a struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself. So there we are, two quotes that are on JFK's grave and quotes that I believe are still relevant to this day. So Arlington National Cemetery is auspicious. It's the final resting place for so many Americans who gave their lives in service for their nation. We actually wandered around without seeing another soul for over an hour. Unfortunately, being radio, I can't share with you some of the images we took that morning, but looking back at them, it was an incredible experience. Finally, I just wanted to say that JFK's assassination in 1963 was a tragic moment in American history. It happened long before I was born, so I can't tell you where I was on that day in history, but it does leave me wondering what might America, and indeed the world, might have looked like if he had survived to go on and complete two terms of his presidency. You can't help but wonder what might have been, good, bad, or otherwise. So on that note, I wanted to finish with a folk classic. The song's mournful feel did capture the mood of the nation, its somber opening reflecting dark times. So Paul Simon wrote it when he was 20 or 21, around the time of the Kennedy assassination. He said he was living in Queens and he used to sit in the bathroom with the running water in the sink and write because the echo against the tile was nice. I'd also turn off the lights, which is probably what led to the opening line, "Hello darkness, my old friend." So before I play that famous song, I just wanted to say thank you for tuning in to my first show for 2020. A bit of a walk down memory lane for some of our listeners, and for others, perhaps an opportunity to learn more about one of the most iconic figures in our modern history. So I've also been busy reading over the holidays, so stay tuned for my next program when we explore another period of history a bit closer to the present day. So here it is, The Sound of Silence, Simon and Garfunkel. Thanks for tuning in.
Hello darkness, my old friend, I've come to talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping, and the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. In restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone, neath the halo of a street lamp. I turned my collar to the cold and damp, when my eyes were stared by the flash of a neon light. It split the night and touched the sound of silence, and in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking, people hearing without listening, people did disturb the sound of silence. Fool said I, you do not know. Silence like a cancer grows. Hear my words that I might teach you. Take my arms that I might reach you. But my words, like silent raindrops, fell. Echoing the wells of silence. And the people bowed and prayed to the neon god they made. Sign flashed out its warning in the words that it was forming. And the sign said the words of the prophets are written on the subway walls, tenement halls, whispering the sounds of silence.